Okay, we're starting here on the top of Yud Amud Aleph, seven lines down. Bayirami Bar Kama, Makdish Mosif Chomesh, Omechaper Mosif Chomesh. Who is the Baalim of the item to be classified as the one who has to pay the additional Chomesh when they redeem it? Is it the monetary owner of the Korban, or is it the person who's going to get Kapara through the Korban? And obviously these items can be separated. Someone can purchase a Korban on behalf of someone else. If that's the case, then who is considered to be the Baalim that now will have to add on an additional Chomesh when they redeem it? Amarava, Amarkra, the Pasuk says, Ve'im ha-Makdish igal et beito, Makdish v'lo mitkaper. You look at it by the case of someone who's Makdish's house, and when it comes to the redemption of the house, it says the one who is Makdish igal et beito, the one who's Makdish is the one redeeming the house, and he's the one that's Mosif the Chomesh, because that's the remainder of the Pasuk there. Yasaf Chamishit Erkechala Vayalo. So Makdish Velo Mitkaper Vayra Micharma Makdish Oset Mura O Mitkaper Oset Mura. Who is the party that has the capacity to make Tmura with regards to the animal? Once again here you need Ba'alut, you need a certain amount of ownership in order to do this. Who is considered to be the owner over here? Is it the person who has the monetary ownership, or is it the person that's attaining the kapara through the korban that has it? Amarava, imkein matzinu tzibur v'shutafim osin tmura. Because if that's the case, then we would have the possibility of a tzibur or partners creating tmura. And we're going to learn in the Masechta, we've mentioned already before, that tmura only applies to an individual. Only yachid can generate tmura. A korban of the tzibur, the korban of shutafim, cannot generate mura. So, if you think that it is the makdish that is the controlling factor with regards to mura, then kagon the shavu shliach lakdushe. Then you can create a singular owner in a sense, or a singular party that can represent everyone with regards to the haktasha of the animal. That is, if you create a proxy, either the tzibur creates a proxy or the partners create a proxy to go out and be makdish an animal on their behalf. Then you can have a single individual representing all of these parties, and then they should be able to create tmura. Many achronim point out that if you are the shliach, the proxy for any person or group, then in essence you represent the principal. If that's the case, then it can't be that just because this individual is representing the tzibor and being makdish the animal, that it's not the tzibor that's being makdish the animal. And therefore they don't view that as being the case here, but rather it's an case where an individual is makdish his personal animal on behalf of the tzibur. He basically donates it to the tzibur as he's makdish it. So he's makdish his own personal animal. So it's done by an individual, but then he grants those rights to the tzibur. In that situation, then, you could have the possibility of tmura being created, because at one point, the hekdesh or the makdish was a yachid, and therefore he could create the tmura, right? We say that doesn't exist by a tzibur. On the other hand, if it is determined by the mitkaper, as the Balei HaTosafot point out, you can't have somebody be a shliach lekapara. You can't have somebody be representing the tzibur in kapara. You can't have somebody representing the shutafim in kapara. If you've done that, then it becomes a korban yachid. It's no longer the tzibur attaining kapara, it's a yachid attaining the kapara. And so for that reason, it must be that it is the mitkaper that is oset mura. Because if it was the makdish, then you would have the possibility of tmura by shutafim, and you would have the possibility of tmura by the tzibur. Ve'od, dama Rav Nachman, amar Rav Huna, tana, korbano l'ashem al nizro, milvad asher tasig yado. So this is a pasuk by the korbanot of the nazir that he has to bring when he completes his nizirut. And in the completion of his nizirut, so it says, Zot Torat HaNazir, Asher Nidor Korbanu LaHashem, Al Nizro, Milvad Asher Tasig Yado, besides that which he can afford, Kefi Nidro Asher Nidor, based on what he committed, he must bring, Ken Yasel Torat Nizro, that he will be added to his Torat Nizro. And the Gemara asks, V'chi Nazir Nidon V'Hesed Yad. Why are we talking about affordability over here? Why are we talking about what he can afford? The Korban Oleh B'Yoreid is subject to affordability, is subject to the economic standing of the individual. Korbanot of Nazir, there's no economic test to see what you can afford and what you can't afford. They're a prescribed korbanot, and you have to bring those korbanot, irrespective of your economic capacity to bring them. So then how could it be that it's saying, Asher Tasig Yado? So the answer to that, the Gemara says, is, Ha Ketzad. How do you explain that, or how does that work? Korbanot Hashem al Nizro, Shifrish Mishalo. The Korban is bringing to Hashem his neder nezirut. Is that what she's taken from his own pocket? That's what he's brought for himself. Besides that which has already been afforded to him by others, that others set aside for him. So Sheta Sig Yado is that which he's been able to raise from others or borrowed from others in order to fund his ability to finish off his Nazirut. So you see here that there's two types of funding for his Korbanot of the Nazir. There's self-funding, and there's also donors that can fund on your behalf. If that's the case, the Mayhuchata, what's the point of pointing this out? It's the fact that he attains kapara here. Pshita de mechaperle. It's pretty straightforward that he gets kapara. Ella lenient murat. Must be that it's telling you that he is the owner with regards to this for tmura. If it's coming to tell you about the kapara, what's the chidush? Obviously, if someone else provides the korban for him, he's the one who took the neder nizirut. They're certainly not bringing the korbanot for nizirut because they haven't taken a neder nizirut. And since they've gifted it to him, it is his. And so it must be that the person that's been itkaper here for the neder nizirut is the nazir himself. Even though others have separated out the korbanot on his behalf, then he has the possibility of making it into tmura. So the only thing that could be relevant here to say that he is the owner and everything comes into his possession is that he is the controlling party with regards to tmura. If that's the case, we've got another piece of evidence that it's the one who's attaining the kapara, or the one who the korban is for that can do the tmura, not the one who is the balim, the monetary owners. You see here that we go after the mitkaper, so it's a second piece of evidence to the fact that it's the mitkaper that is the controlling person with regards to tmura. So the Gemara says, that's not the case. The inyan kapara. It's really the inyan kapara. It shouldn't be the word tmura. It should be kapara over here. It's the inyan kapara, which was the original havamina that we dismissed, that it's for kapara. Vidka da kashalach matana da kayavinan lei. The original assumption was, of course, if someone else brought the korban for him or funded the korban for him, that it would provide him the kapara. Why shouldn't it provide him the kapara? What's the problem? So the Gemara says that's the chiddush over here. The chiddush is that he's allowed to bring from other parties. And the Gemara says, what type of chiddush is that? Why would you need the good Torah to tell you this? And that's what the Gemara says here. No, the inyan kapara is the chiddush. Ilav de Rabbi Rachmana milvad shet sigudo. Had it not been for the fact that the Torah allowed such a gift to fund his kapara, hava amina, I would have thought, zerata kutuvu, korbano, mitidehu demechaper. You can only bring your own korban in order to attain kapara, mida acherim, but from others, lo, that it wouldn't work, kamash malan, that they are allowed to bring from others. So now the Gemara is coming back to this point that it's really a chiddush, the fact that someone else can fund your kapara. You might have thought that it was zerata kutuv, that you must fund your own kapara, and the truth is, you might even be able to give reason to it, more than just simply a gzera takatuv, because of the fact that you're attaining kapara, maybe the Torah demands that it come out of your pocket, in order for the kapara to be attained. You have to feel the pinch. You have to feel the fact that you're funding this kapara. If others do it for you, then maybe you're not really feeling the kapara. So that would be the gzera takatuv. Along comes milvad asher tasig yodo, to teach you that others can join in the funding of your kapara. And that does not then disqualify it, or that's not disqualified from providing you the kapara. That's the chiddush, but then we learn nothing about tmura with regards to this. Mayhavi Allah. So in the end, what is the halacha with regards to tmura? Who is the controlling party to create tmura? And again, even though the first proof that Rabbah brought still stands, nevertheless, if you look at Ot Yud of the Shita Mikubetz that he quotes from the Baal HaTosafot, Gilyon, the Mikasha, the Imkein Matzinu Lav Hukukahu. That first answer is not a proof. We came into Ein Hatzibur Memirim Imigdishu, because the Tzibur can't be Memir when he's Makdishit, Deinhu Shiachit Yagdish Letzorchan Lo Yamir. So too, an individual does it on their behalf, can't do Tmura. Or in essence, what the Shita Mikubetzet is pointing out is the criticism of the Achronim in the first case, which is once you're a Shliach, then you just function as the principal. You are Shlucho Shel Adam Kemoto. And therefore, if the Tzibur couldn't do it, then their Shliach couldn't do it as well. Therefore, it's not a Hokacha. Others suggest that you could just answer that point of Rabbah by saying, you're right. In that case, you could create Tmura. But in the case where the tzibur does it, you can't. And you can explain both phenomenon without bringing any proof to the fact that it is the mitzkaper and not the makdish that does the tmura. Because yes, maybe a yachid that's representing the tzibur could do it, but a tzibur that's representing the tzibur or someone who's acting on behalf of the tzibur can't do it, and that'll be the case where the tzibur doesn't have tmura, and you can separate the cases out. And for that reason, they don't believe that that first proof of Rava is a strong enough proof, and that's why the Gemara is asking over here, Mahavi Allah, what's the din over here?
The Tashma, Damar Rabbi Abo, we saw this earlier in Masechta, we saw this in Zvachim as well. Chanamar Rabbi Abo, Yochanan, Makdish, Mosiv Chomesh. The one who is the Makdish, the one who created the Kedusha, the Balim, the monetary owners of the animal, they are the ones that are responsible for the Chomesh. That's what we saw above from Rava, brought the proof from the Pasuk as well, that the Balim, or the owners for adding on a Chomesh and redemption, are the monetary owners, the Balim of the animal. Umit kaferu set mura, and the one who attains kapara is the one who has controlling interest for the tmura. That's both because of what we saw from Rava, that otherwise the tzibur and the shutafim would also be able to create tmura. We saw possibly a proof from Nazir that we rejected, but here we have a sora from Yochanan that it is the mitkaper that set mura, and toreim mishalo acherim tovatana mishalo. That if you are toreim on behalf of your friend has tevel, and you take off the truma from your own produce on behalf of your friend, you did him a favor, you did all of this for him, you have the right to distribute that truma to whomever you choose. It does not become the person who the truma is taken from, his tevel that was released and made into chulin through your taking of the truma. It does not become his. It's not his right to distribute it, even though you would have thought maybe because that's what's mitukan, he would have that right. But the answer is no. The person who took off the truma, he's the one who made the expenditure. He's the one whose produce it came from. And my time, Amakra, et komasar tvotcha venatata. It says that all of your masar, venatata, and you give it. So whoever is the one who is separating out the maser is also the one who gives it to the other parties. And the tovatana is the ability or the right to take some form of compensation in order to give it to a particular party, a particular Kohen. So again, if someone has a grandson who's a Kohen, then he could say, I'll pay you a little bit so you give it to my grandson instead of some other Kohen. That would be permissible. And that is the Tovat Hanat, and you have the right to that because you were the one mafrish the maser. Therefore, you're the one who has the right to give it or distribute it to the parties. Again, that's the lima that we saw from Rabbi Yubava and Rabbi Yochanan. It splits up these three items and says the Makdish is the one who's the Balim for the Chomesh, the Mitkaper is the Balim for Tmura, and by Truma and Maser, the one who's Mafrish from his produce, the Trumot to Masrot, he is the Balim with regards to the right to distribute it to whomever he chooses. Okay, next Mishnah. Ein memirin loivarim beubarim. You cannot take limbs of Chulin and transfer Kedusha from an Ubar onto them. So if you have an Ubar of Hekdesh, a fetus of Ekdesh, you can't transfer that Kedusha onto Evarim. Velo Ubarim be'Evarim. And if you have Evarim of Ekdesh, you can't transfer the Kedusha from them onto an Ubar, onto a fetus. Velo Ubarim be'Evarim bishlemim. And you also can't transfer Kedusha from a Shalem, from a full animal that's Ekdesh b'Kedusha taguf. You can't transfer that Kedusha not onto fetuses, and not onto Evarim, not onto limbs. Velo shneimim behem, and not vice versa. You can't take Kedusha from Evarim, or something that's a fetus that is Hekdesh, can't transfer the Kedusha from them onto Shlemim, onto an entire animal. Rabbi Yossi Omer, Rabbi Yossi disagrees with that last point. Memirim Evarim Bishlemim. You do have the possibility, if you have an animal that is Shalem, fully Hekdesh, you can transfer the Kedusha onto a particular limb of another animal. Aval lo Shlemim Ben. But I agree, in the opposite direction, it does not work. You can't take the Kedusha from Evarim and transfer it onto a shalem. You can't then move it onto an animal in its entirety. Amar Rabbi Yossi, and now Rabbi Yossi explains his position. V'alo b'muktashim, don't we have this precedent by when you're magdish an animal, ha'omer raglashel zo ola, kula ola. If you say a particular limb or particular leg of an animal is an ola, then that spreads to the entirety of the animal, and the entirety of the animal becomes an ola. Akshu ma raglashel zo tachat zo. So the same thing should work. If you have an animal that's Hekdesh, and now you're transferring that Kedusha onto a leg of an animal, Tmura, onto a leg of an animal, so Tekula Tmura, Tachta, then the animal should then become Tmura in its entirety. Just like when you Makdish one limb of the animal, it spreads to the entire animal. So too, when you take tmura and transfer it onto a particular limb of the animal, it should spread to the entirety of the animal. That's Rabbi Yossi's logic. Now, it seems from this, and this has become important at the way end of today's daf, that the Tanna Kamma doesn't disagree fundamentally with Rabbi Yossi. And he agrees that by hektesh, if you were to be matish a single limb, that it would spread to the entirety of the animal. The only thing he disagrees about is whether you could do that by tmura. He says that Rabbi Yossi says you can do it by tmura. The Tanna Kamma says you can't do it by tmura. If you transfer kedusha from an entire animal onto a single limb of the animal, it does not spread to the animal. It doesn't work. Tmura doesn't work. We're going to learn that either from behema, bivhema, which means an entire animal to an entire animal, or the Gemara in other places learns it from ehekesh to meiser behema. So in both of those cases, there is a requirement for an entirety of an animal, and therefore it might work by hektesh. It doesn't work by tmura. So that's the machloket of Yossi and the Tanna Kamma. Itmar eva machloket amoraim. Barpada amar en kedusha chala laubarim. You cannot have kedusha devolve upon a fetus. Rabbi Yochanan amar kedusha chala laubarim. Rabbi Yochanan, on the other hand, believes that you can have kedusha bichal laubarim. Now Rashi explains exactly what that means or what is the nafkumina about that. He says in the first Rashi on the Gemara, in kedusha chala laubarim, if he wants to be a makdish, a fetus, inside of another animal, it does not attain kedusha in order to be put on the mizbeach. And then if the animal is born and you put on the mizbeach, you're putting chulin on the mizbeach. It's being makriv chulin ba'azara. And if you are mafrish a chatat, mi'uberet, if you take out a chatat that is pregnant, then we don't look at it as being two chatot. We don't look at the mother and the fetus as being separate chatot. But rather, we look at the ubar as being an extension of his mother. And therefore, the ubar is kadosh because the mother is kadosh. Not because it independently becomes kadosh, but only because the mother is kadosh. And then it becomes a vlad chatat. And a vlad chatat is the mitah. That is the aloha, the Moshe, mi-sinai. And with anything else, in regards to this, this blood or this ubar is considered to be a offspring of kodeshim and not an independent entity. That's the view of Barpado. Whereas Rabbi Yochanan sees it as being an independent entity. That means the opposite would be true of all the things we just said here. That means that you could be maktishit while in utero, and when it's born, it would already be kadosh and you can put it on the mizbeach. It also would mean that it's not a vlad chatat. If you're Magdishit, it's independently Kadosh, and that means it's a separate Chatat. It's not a Vlad Chatat. That means it won't go to Mita, it'll be Lachrayut, and therefore it'll be Yirat Shistayif. So it'll be a different Din. And that's the Machloket here. According to Barpada, the Ubar is basically an extension of the mother, Ubar Yerachimo, and therefore it has no independent status. Rabbi Yochanan says it's completely independent, and therefore you can be Magdish the Ubar, even without the mother being Kadosh. That means from two perspectives, Rabbi Yochanan says this, Tosavot actually differentiates between them, and we'll see that that has a nafkamina with regards to why we think the next piece of the Gemara is a proof to Rabbi Yochanan's position, which is that one aspect, which is emishayar mishuyar, that means you could leave the fetus over. That means if you were makdish, the mother, you can leave the fetus out and say it's not kadosh. That's one aspect of it. The second aspect of it is that you can actually be makdish the fetus without the mother, or you can be makdish the fetus separately from the mother. They can be two different kedushot. So those are the two pieces of Rabbi Yochanan's position that an ubar is an independent entity. V'azda Rabbi Yochanan tamei, Rabbi Yochanan's the shittato. Dam Rabbi Yochanan, hikdish chatat mi'uberet. Someone is makdish a chatat that is pregnant, v'alda, and then it gives birth. Ratzah ba mitkaper, ratzah bivlada mitkaper. He can choose now. He can use the chatat, the mother, or you can use the ubar as his chatat. They were two chatot, as if he was mafrish. Shtei chatot achrayut, which means that sometimes you take off two korbanot as backup, so that it makes sure that you get the korban or you have a korban to bring. And that's what you did here, because you have two korbanot chatot, because he sees the ubar as being independent. And therefore, that independent status makes it that there are actually two chatot over here. Rashi says the evidence, the reason that you know that Rabbi Yochanan is saying this is because the chatat is not the mito. It's not classified as a vlad chatat. It's classified as a separate chatat. That's how Rashi says you see from here that this is Rabbi Yochanan the shittato. Tosafot is not convinced of that because Tosafot says, as we noted before, you can break Rabbi Yochanan's shita into two pieces.
which is that Rabbi Yochanan can say that im shiyer mishuyar, that if you leave it over, then it has the ability not to be classified as a vlad chatat. So Rabbi Yochanan could have just held that you are able to leave over the ubar, even though you can't be makdishit, and that would have already gotten you out of the problem of vlad chatat. The evidence we want is that you can actually be makdishit separately. That evidence comes from the fact that now you don't have to be makdishit again. After it's born, you can use it as a chatat without ever having to be makdishit, because you were makdishit in utero, and it was a complete chatat with kedusha from the moment it was born. You don't need any additional intervention to make it kadosh. And that's why Tosafot says this is evidence of the fact, or as the Rav Yochanan and Tamei, that you can be makdish in ubar. And the Gemara says, v'tzricha, and we need both of these statements of Rabbi Yochanan. Diashmin b'hachamaita, if you only told me the first statement of Rabbi Yochanan, that kedushas kalal ubarim, hatam hu da'akta shelu ubra. That's because over there, you were particular in being makdish, that ubar, that fetus. You specifically stated that you wanted the ubra gufei to have a kedusha. Of a hocha, the akta sheli imei, over here where you were magdish the mother, ha bechlal imei, lo kadosh. Maybe it would not attain kedusha because of its mother, or in essence is what Tosfot says, maybe, im shi'er mishviyar. It's left out. If you didn't say anything about the mother vis-a-vis the ubar, yeah, they're separate entities, but that's it. The ubar is now independent, and it does not attain the kedusha of the mother. Vishmanin batu, if you only told me the second case, which is, if it's in utero, and you're makdish the chatat, then it becomes like two chatot, then hatamu da akdish law, there you're successful being makdish the ubar, v'chol the itva makdish ba, because you're able to successful being makdish the mother, v'chol the itva, and anything that's inside of her. Avohacha, but in the case where you're trying to makdish the ubar alone, the akdish shele came into late the avrai lo kadish, since there's nothing outside, meaning there's nothing that walks around and is alive now, lo kadish, maybe you wouldn't be able to make it kadosh, tzricha, you need both of them. So what Rabbi Yochanan's telling you is that there are, again, like Tosafot says, two dinim here. One din is the fact that if you are magdish the ubar independently, you can be magdishit even without the mother. The second din that we're learning is when you're magdish the mother, that has influence over the ubar. Even though the ubar is independent, the assumption is, and this is the way that Tosafot says it, that when a person is makdish an item, we assume they're makdish the entirety of the item. Even though the ubar is a separate entity and is considered independent, if you're makdish the mother without making any statement to the contrary, we're going to assume you also wanted to be makdish the ubar along with it. And so that's the two dinim, that's the two chidushim that we learn here. One chidush is that you can be makdish the ubar independently, by itself, without the mother, and you can make whatever you want. Number two is that you can, through the mother, make the ubar kadosh, even though it's independent. Because we assume that when you're makdish the mother, you want the ubar to be kadosh. It's kadosh independently, which means you have two chataot here, but you could still make it kadosh through the mother, even though they're independent entities. And those are the chidushim of the two statements of Rabbi Yochanan, as well as the fact that, again, Rabbi Yochanan has two parts to his position, which is one, im shi'er mishuyar, that you could leave out the ubar from the mother, but also that you can be makdish the ubar independently. Lishna achrina, there's another way to formulate this. Maika mashmalan, what is Rabbi Yochanan teaching us over here? Number one, im shi'er mishuyar, that if you leave it over, you can leave the ubar out of whatever the mother is. V'ubar la rechimo, and obviously the ubar is an extension of the mother. It's in a dependent of the mother. V'tarte lamali, and then again, why do I need two statements to tell me this? If Rabbi Yochanan stating you can be makdish the ubar independently, I have a second statement that's telling me you can leave the ubar out because basically it's not an extension of the mother. So then why do I need both of these? Because di'i itmar b'ha, had you only told me this, mishum di'imei chazia legufei migo denachta kedushala nachta nami levlad. Since the mother herself could attain kedusha because she is a living being now, she is ready to be in mizbeach. So migo, that you can be makdish the mother, maybe you can also drag along the vlad with it. About idach, but if you're trying to be makdish the ubar independently, just by itself, well, maybe that wouldn't work. That's why Rabbi Yochanan told us you can be makdish the ubar by itself. V'itmar b'ha, if you only told me about the fact that you can be makdish the ubar, mishum deka mefaresh kedusha al havlad, because you're specifying that the vlad should have some kedusha. Avayilo, but in the case where you makdish the mother and you never specify the vlad, maybe the vlad wouldn't attain kedusha, kamash malan or tzricha. Therefore, we need you to tell us that when you makdish the mother, the
Vlad comes along with the mother, unless you state otherwise, and therefore now you've created two korbanot. One chatat is the mother, and one the other chatat is the ubar. And as Tosfos points out, there's really a nuanced difference now between the case of Bar Poda, where he says you makdish the mother, the ubar is also kadosh. And according to Rabbi Yochanan, when you makdish the mother, so too the fetus is also kadosh. Yet, according to Rabbi Yochanan, it's independent. According to Bar Poda, it's not independent. And so then you have to formulate it in the following manner, which is, Yesh lamar dahachi perusho, hu bichlali mei lo kadosh api adam, ele mitunei di imohu kadosh. Dubar yerech imohu, yishayiro enu mishuyar. So the way that Bar Poda is going to state this, or the way he's going to express this, is that the dusha of the ubar, or the fetus, comes from the mother. It has nothing to do with what the human being did. It's nothing to do with the hektesh of the human being. It's simply because it's an extension of its mother that the hektesh devolves upon this ubar there. The person themselves did nothing in terms of creating that or generating that hektesh upon the ubar. Whereas for Rabbi Yochanan, the kedusha that devolves upon the ubar is from the person who was makdish the animal. It's not because the mother is kadosh, therefore by definition the ubar is kadosh. It's because the individual was makdish the mother, he was also makdish the vlad, and the kedusha on both of them came from the statement of the individual, and that hekdesh came from the adam. And that's why you have a tzrichuta over here tell you that not only do you have the capacity to be makdish the animal independently, the ubar independently, but you also have the ability to pull the ubar out. And in mishayer, mishuyar, if you leave it over, it is left over. And that means that then you're be makdish the mother, and then the ubar itself also becomes hekdesh, is because of the fact that you are makdish both of them, al pi adam, and not because the mother's hekdesh, does the ubar automatically become hekdesh. And that's the tzrichuto over here, that the fact that you can not only be makdish the ubar independently, but you can leave the ubar out, and the fact you can leave the ubar out means that when you're makdish the mother, and the ubar is also hekdesh, it's because of you that the ubar is hekdesh, and not because of the mother that it is hekdesh. And that becomes the difference between Rabbi Yochanan and Bar Poda, as to when both of you agree that the mother's hekdesh affects the ubar, but it affects it in a different way. And that's why for Bar Poda, it will be a vlad chatat, and for Rabbi Yochanan, it'll be Ishtei Chatot over here. Yotiv Rabbi Zeira, we come out of the Hashmatito. So Rabbi Zeira was saying over this machlok between Rabbi Yochanan and Bar Poda, and Etavei Rabbi Yirmiyah, the Rabbi Zeira. Now Rabbi Yirmiyah challenges Rabbi Zeira, we're going to have a number of these challenges, to basically Bar Poda's position that a Ubar is not considered to be an independent entity. Kate said, Marimim ala Bechor. How do you get out of the problem of Kedushat HaBechor? Right, obviously this is a major problem post the Mikdash in our times today, where we don't have Kohanim that we're going to give it to. We have to wait for it to get to a Mum anyway. So then, how do we facilitate this without abrogating the Kedushat HaBechor? So we've spoken about the different possibilities before, including making a Mum in the animal while it's in utero. And here is another suggestion, which is, V'amivakeret shaitam mi'uberet. If you have a female who's going to give birth for the first time, she's pregnant, Omer mashim b'yeha shelzo ola. Whatever's in her womb, whatever's in utero, is an ola. Yelda zachar, she gives birth to a male, arizo ola. Then it becomes ola. Alma, kadosh ubar. There you see that you're able to create kedusha independently on the ubar. Because it's clearly not the mother that he's making into an ola, it's the ubar that he's making into ola. And you're successful in making it into an ola to the point that it's mafia midei bechor. That it's no longer a bechor. And you'll be able to bring it up as a korban ola. The benefit to you is the fact now that if you are chayav and ola, you, instead of having to give this to the kohen, can now use this for your own personal ola to discharge your obligation. Amalei, ki, word that we have in our Gemara is mitanya, but probably the girsa should be kitanya hahi kedushat tamim. Over there, they weren't speaking about kedushat aguf, they were speaking about kedushat tamim. If it's kedushat aguf, it's a big problem for Bar Poda, because you see here, you're independently able to create kedushat ola on the ubar. And Bar Poda says you can't do that. So Rabbi Zeira answers over here that that's not the case. We're talking about Kedushat Tamim. He was makdishit for the proceeds of that animal. Rabbi says, if that's the case, mi'alima Kedushat Tamim to come afkele min bechora. Is Kedushat Tamim sufficiently strong enough to eliminate the need to have a bechor or for it becoming kadosh b'kedushat bechor? Amarle, Rabbi Zeira says back to him, yeah, that's right, it is. V'hatna, natna is binichuta. We have a Mishnah that we saw back in Bechorot, Kol kodoshim shekadam mum kavul ekte sham. Any kodoshim where the mum was there before you were magdishit, then when you're magdishit, then it's kadosh for kedushat damim. The money's, you monetize it, you have to sell it off, people dead, and then the proceeds are used to bring a korban, viniftu, and then you redeem it, chayavin bibichora. Then, after it's been redeemed, if the mother gives birth, after it's been redeemed, then you are chayavin bichora. If she gives birth to a firstborn, after she was redeemed, then there is bichora. Ube matanot. And the matanot are the matanot kuna, the zroa, the chayayim, and the keba. All of those have to be given from this animal because it's now totally chulin. But taima de la charshinifdu. That's only after was it redeemed de chayavim. That's why you're chayavim bechorah and chayavim matanot. About kodem shinifdu, before they were redeemed. When you have an animal that had its mum there beforehand, you cannot make a kadosh b'kdushat aguf because the mum preexisted the kekdesh and you're magdishit. That's kdushat damim. And you see here that before you redeem that kedushat damim, kodem shinifdu p'turim, you're patur from bechorah, you're patur mimatanot. That shows you that kedushat damim has the power to eliminate the kedushat bechor. And that's the answer for Bar Pada, Rabbi Zera says, which is that the way that you're working on this bechor here in order to get out of the problem of bechor or having to give the bechor to the kohen is being magdish the ubar, the fetus, not to be it itself in olah, but for its proceeds to be used towards an olah. And that's enough to get it out of the kedushat bechor, and it works. The ubar that's born, well, in the case, if it's kedushat the gulf, like the first thought, it would be then a korban, brought as a korban olah. And in a case where it's kedushat tamim, you'd have to sell it off. You have to monetize it and use the proceeds to bring a korban olah. It's sold without a mum. It's considered to be a monetizable asset right away. You sell it off, comes totally chulin, and it used the proceeds to buy an olah. That is Rashi's view as what happens over here. Tosafot claims, based on the upcoming Gemara in tomorrow's daf, that when you're makdishit l'kedushat damim, then it becomes kedushat aguf. And even Bar Poda agrees that when you're makdishit kedushat damim, that migo, that the kedushat damim devolves upon the ubar, it also can then turn into kedushat aguf. It's basically a back door to create kedushat aguf. Rashi does not explain it that way. The Shita Mikubetzet in Ot Vav brings an alternate language that seems to answer the problem that Tosafot is raising, but defends that position of Rashi and says that the kedushat damim was actually placed on the mother and not on the ubar. And the kedushat damim that devolved upon the mother then spreads to the ubar through the mother. And therefore, for Bar Poda, you're not putting kedushat damim directly onto the ubar. The Griz, in defense of Rashi, says that which Tosafot says in the upcoming daf, that when you do something in kedushat damim, it automatically converts into kedushat aguf where it can. That's only true that if at the moment of Hakdashah, there's a possibility that the kedushat damim devolves, and then the kedushat aguf spreads at that moment. On the other hand, here, where according to Bar Poda, you can't do anything with the fetus at this moment because it's not an independent entity, then when you're magdisha kedushat damim, that's a delayed kedusha. When you have a delayed kedusha, then it does not turn into kedushat aguf in a delayed fashion. And that's why, over here, Rashi is going to say that it remains kedushat damim. Oh, so your question is, well, how could you do this? Isn't the animal, while it's in utero, a bechor? The answer to that is, Rashi notes, the bechorah lo kodesh ashadikshenu rechem. Peter rechem is the definition of a bechor. Bechor does not become kadosh until it is peter the rechem, until it's released through the womb, until it is born. So the kedushat bechor only happens from the moment of birth, and therefore you're able, before the birth, to change the status of the ubar and prevent the kedushat bechor from devolving upon this fetus. You're preventing the possibility of it becoming a bechor by changing its status or by doing something to it before it ever reaches the point of kedushat bechor in the peter rechem. All right, 8th of 8. So now Rabbi Yirmiyah brings another challenge. Homer, mashi b'me'er shel zo ola. Then, if the person is magdish, whatever's inside of this animal, not the mother, but whatever's in utero, to be an ola. Now, the mother herself, muter b'giza, you can shear the mother, vasura b'avodah. But you cannot work the mother. That's mishom kichush ubar. Because it'll cause weakness to the ubar. So as far as shearing the mother, the shearing of the mother herself is not going to have any impact on the ubar that is in utero. And therefore you can shear the mother without having impact on the hekdesh and not being in violation of the restriction of giza and avoda with regards to hekdesh. On the other hand, when it comes to the avoda, there's something different. Because when you work the mother, the mother's work is not just impactful on herself, it is also impactful on the ubar that is found in utero. And that is because just like when you work the animal, it loses weight, it becomes weakened by the burden that you are placing upon it, so too that it impacts on the ubar that's growing or taking its nutrition or sustenance from the mother herself. And therefore, we would say that you're not allowed to work the mother, not because the mother herself is kadosh, but because of kichush bar sheba, because you're weakening the fetus that's in utero. Amalei, hanami kdushat damim. He says again, that kdusha that we're talking about here is not where he's makdishik kdushat aguf, which would be a problem for bar podo, but a case where he was makdishik kdushat damim. Rabbi Yirmi asks, umi alima kdushat damim da asirelei ba'avuda? Is kdushat damim sufficiently strong to restrict you in doing a voda with this animal? Amalein, and Rabbi Zeh responds, yes, in the affirmative. Vatnan, and again, atnan ben ichuta, we have a proof from a Mishnah, yotzin lechulin ligazez v'le'aveit. It's the same Mishnah that we just quoted before in Bechorot that says, if you had an animal that had a mum before you were makdishit, then your makdishit is avishvi kedushat domim. When you redeem it, after it's redeemed, you're now allowed to ligazez v'le'aveit. You can shear it, you can work with it, you can do whatever you want with it. That's not true by psulei muktashim. Psulei muktashim, it was hekdesh kedushat aguf. It gets a mum and you redeem it. Even after it's redeemed, you can't work it, and you can't shear it. So that's the difference between something that was kedushat damim and kedushat aguf. Kedushat damim, post the pidyon, after it's redeemed, you can do whatever you want with it. It's completely chulin, and you can't shear it, and you can work it. But time of mishum d'nifdu, that's only because they were redeemed. Ha'kodem sh'nifdu, before they were redeemed, asurim ba'avoda. You were not allowed to be work with them, you're not allowed to shear them. So obviously, an in utero fetus, you can't shear, so there's no problem of shearing. Avoda can be a problem through the mother. In a vicarious manner, the avoda of the mother can affect the fetus in utero, and therefore it'll be restricted. But we see from here that Kedushat Damim does have a restriction against avoda, and that's why Alma Kedushat Damim Asurim Lei Ba'avoda, that it is Asur Ba'avoda, and then therefore we're going to explain this case as being Kedushat Damim. Kedushat Damim will be sufficient to create the Isur Avoda that's being spoken about over here. If that's the case, it's once again not a disproof to Bar Poda's position. Eitavei. So again, Rabbi Yirmiah challenges Rabbi Zeira. Ein memirin, and then finally we get to our Mishnah, which is, Ein memirin lo ivarim ve'ubarim ve'ubarim ve'ivarim. So from our Mishnah, it sounds like, Imur hu delo meimar, our Mishnah says there's a restriction against doing tmura, because the tmura, it says, be'ima bi've'ima, and an ubar is not a be'ima. So tumura doesn't work over there by an ubar. Hamikdash kedishe. What it's inferred from that, or what is implied by that, is that it can become kadosh through hekdesh. So now, first of all, that's on two fronts you can prove this point. The first is the diuk, which is the Mishnah only says that you can't create tumura for an ubar and for evarim, and the fetus over here means you can't create tumura in a fetus or from a fetus. And you can't create tmura from an aver or to an aver. So that's the statement of the Mishnah. And from that, we are now implying or deducing from that that it's only tmura that's restricted, but hekdesh you could do, which means you could be makdish an aver, you could be makdish an ubar. So that's against Bar Poda, who says you can't be makdish an ubar. That's number one. The second proof from here is the fact that the Mishnah has to tell you you can't do tmura. Tmura is only possible if you could be makdish it. If you can't be makdish it, you can't create tmura. To speak about, oh, there is no tmura from an ubar to another item, that implies or that suggests that the ubar was kadosh. It had to have a possibility of being kadosh before you could ever talk about it not being tmura. So you have two points of proof from here, one of which is the diuk that you make out of the fact that it says you can't create tmura, so therefore obviously you can do ekdesh. The second thing is the fact that the Mishnah has to tell you tmura doesn't work means the item is already kadosh in order that there's a possibility of tmura that won't work. In this case, Amalei, that's not a problem. V'vladei kodoshimu de kadishe v'kaime. It says it's a case where the animal that was already hekdesh, and then it became pregnant, so now it's a vlad of hekdesh. It's not where you independently made the ubar into something of hekdesh. It's a case where the ubar itself was created after the mother was already hekdesh. And so now that is a vlad of hekdesh. So now you can have a vlad of hekdesh, which the Mishnah can be telling you, don't transfer that onto another item, or you can't transfer that onto another item. Tmura doesn't work. As well as the fact that the diuk from the Mishnah. Mishnah says, tmura doesn't work, but hekdesh does. Yeah, you're right. An animal became kadosh in utero, if it's a vlad hekdesh. That's how you can have it. Not when you independently made it hekdesh, but only when it was conceived as part of an extension of the mother. He says, I vlad kodeshim b'meyuman hu delo avdin ha'ivrai avdin. Wait a minute. The deal now would be from this, according to Rabbi Zera's answer, that we're talking about vladei kodeshim, which seems to solve the problem, because now we don't have a question of bar poda. Rabbi Yirmiyah says, wait a minute. Then you'd have to be midayek out of our mishnah, that only when they're in utero is an ubar not able to create tmura. But that means after it's born, it can create tmura. It means vlad kodeshim, something that was born to a mother who was hekdesh, then she conceived a baby, and then gave birth to that child. That child would then have the possibility of creating tmura. Well, is that really true? Because we already established that only something that has hekdesh rishon, that has its own hekdesh, can create tmura. Something that's a derivative hekdesh can't create tmura. And the vlad hekdesh is a derivative hekdesh. In the upcoming mishnah, we're going to see this, that a vlad hekdesh or vlad kodeshim cannot create tmura. And that's what the Gemara says over here. V'atanya, or really tznan, it's a mishnah upcoming, that ein vlad oseh tmura. A vlad can't create tmura. So forget about being in utero. Even after it's born, it can't do it. So then why are you telling me in the mishnah over here that it can't have an ubar create tmura? It's not just an ubar. It's an ubar in utero, and then it's after it's born as well. It says, Amani, Rabbi Yehuda, the author of our mishnah is Rabbi Yehuda, who has a dissenting opinion in the upcoming mishnah. Damar, vlad oseh tmura, who says that vlad kodeshim can create tmura. They are sufficiently independent in terms of their hekdesh after they're born that they can actually create tmura. We'll see the machloket once we get to the next mishnah, where it says, "I Rabbi Yehuda, tmura hu d'lavde hamikdash kadshe." We're back to now the diuk that we made before. According to Rabbi Yehuda, you're telling me that tmura cannot be created like our mishnah says, but that means you could be makdish an animal in this manner. Vahama Rabbi Yehuda, evarin lo kadshe. When it comes to Ivarim, they don't make the whole animal hekdesh. What we're suggesting is that the Mishnah makes it clear that Ivarim fail. When you try to take something that's hekdesh and then transfer it over to an Aver, that does not create tmura. That tmura fails, and there's no tmura. But the implications of that are it's only because it's tmura does it fail. Had you been makdish that Aver, it would have worked, and it would have spread to the entirety of the animal. And again, I showed you in the Mishnah, the evidence of that is the fact that Rabbi Yossi, when he argues on the Tanakhama, he takes it as a given that the hekdesh of a particular limb would be successful. And through that, he wants to prove to the Tanakhama that tmura should be no worse than regular hekdesh. Just like regular hekdesh, if you hekdesh the limb, it spreads the animal. So do by tmura. If you are memir on a particular limb, it should spread to the entirety of the animal. But that means the Tanakhama agrees that hekdesh works. But we know Rabbi Yehuda is of the opinion that that's not true. He doesn't think that when you're makdish and aver, that it spreads to the entirety of the animal. And therefore, how could he be the author of our mishnah? You're telling me he's the author of mishnah now, because number one, we want to set it up as vlad kodeshim, so that's not a problem for bar poda. But you'd only set it up as vlad kodeshim if you hold like Rabbi Yehuda, that after it's born, vlad kodeshim can't create tmura. But if you hold like Rabbi Yehuda, then you have another failing in the mishnah, which is the fact that hekdesh would work in the situation where you say tmura doesn't work, which is if you're makdish a particular aver, it would spread to the entire animal. And Rabbi Yehuda doesn't say that. He says, no, wait a minute. Like we saw back in this machloket in Chulin, when it comes to an aver, which the neshama is tluyabo, if it's a particular limb, which is life-sustaining or life-threatening, then in that situation, even Rabbi Yehuda, even the dissenting opinions who believe when you're makdish a particular aver, it doesn't spread to the entirety of the animal, when it's a limb that is a life-sustaining limb, or if you were to take that limb off, it would not survive, then in that case, it spreads to the entire animal according to everyone. So all you have to say here is that's the situation in our mishnah. It's a hekdesh of an aver, shenishalamat luyabo, and there Rabbi Yehuda agrees that it does spread to the entirety of the animal, and then that's what the mishnah is saying. That type of aver work, that type of hekdesh works by being makdish, but it doesn't work by tmurat. Now we've explained the whole Mishnah. Eitavei, another problem. Makdishim evarim v'ubarim. You can't be makdish an ever, and you can't be makdish an ubar. Avalo memirin, but you cannot do tmura with them. Hachanami. Now, in these cases, you can't answer that it's dealing with kedushat damim, because kedushat damim is not applicable by tmura. Tmura is only relevant by kedushat mizbeach. So in the previous case, like our Mishnah, and this, what we're bringing now, neither of them are relevant to answer Kedushat Damim, because Kedushat Damim has no relevance in the world of Tumura. So therefore, your only option is to answer Vladei Kodashim, which is what we answered in the previous case. And now, once again, Achanami beVladei Kodashim. Let's say it's a case of Vladei Kodashim. Mer says again, Ibe Vladei Kodashim, my Maktishim. Why do you have to be Maktish them? It says here, you can be Maktish and Ubar, and you can be Maktish Evarim, but you can't do Tumura with them. Well, what do you need to be Maktish? If it's Vlad Kodashim, they are Kadish Evikaime. They're Kadosh because their mother is Kadosh. They're an extension of the mother. And that's why they're Kadosh. You don't need to have any independent Hekdesh that comes about over here. So that's a very difficult explanation. Now this is from a Mishnah later on that we speak about Chomer be Hekdesh mi bitmura. There's certain things that are more Chomor by Hekdesh than they are by Tmura. And this is one of the examples. The fact that you can be Makdesh and Ubar, you can be Makdesh and Varin, you can't do Tmura with them. And that sounds exactly like Rabbi Yochanan, that you can be Makdish and Ubar. So now that's a problem for Bar Pada. Once again, Rabbi Zera comes to the defense and says, no, we're talking about Vladei Kodoshim. Vladei Kodoshim are something that's conceived to an animal that's already Hekdesh, and now the fetus in utero is now Kadosh too. Not because you were Makdish it, but simply because Kedushav, the mother, extends to the Ubar and becomes a Vlad Kodoshim. And if that's the case, then why do you need to be Makdish it? So it says, Hachikamar. This is how you have to read it. Makdishim Evarim, Umemirim Bahen. You're able to be Makdish, particular Evarim, and then, because when you're Makdish those Evarim, it spreads to the entirety of the animal, and now you have a whole animal that is Kadosh, Dushata, Guf, then Memirim Bahen. Therefore, you can now be Memir, you can have Tmura that is generated from this animal of Hekdesh. Not from an Aver, but from an Aver that then created Hekdesh that spread to the entirety of the animal. There, from that, you can then create Tmura. Avalo memirin evarin bahen. But you cannot have Tmura that comes either from this animal that is now entirely Kadosh, or even from any of the Evarim of it. You can't create Tmura that then will go on to a particular Aver, and then from that Aver spread to the entirety of the animal and make that whole animal into Tmura. That doesn't work, and that's the distinction between them. With regards to Hekdesh, you have the capacity to have Hekdesh spread from a single Aver to the entirety of the animal. Once it's done that, the whole animal is Kadosh, therefore it can create Tmura. On the other hand, when you take that Hekdesh, or that entirety animal of Hekdesh, and you transfer it onto a particular Aver, or you take from an Aver that you started with, and then try to transfer Kedushah onto an Aver of another animal, that does not create Tmura, because that Aver will not then spread to the entirety of the other animal, and therefore there is no Tmura, because Tmura only exists in Behema, Behema, from an animal to an animal, and therefore you would need a whole animal on one side, and then a recipient animal on the other side. At least if you have the Varim that spread to the entire animal, maybe you have another animal on the other side, but it doesn't happen. And that's the difference. Chomer Mikodesh, maybe Tmura. That's why Hekdesh has this Chumra, that it spreads to the entirety of the animal. Tmura does not have it. And this is obviously based on the view of the Tanna Kamma, not Rabbi Yossi, because we're saying here that you can't be Memir Evarim from something that's Shalem Kedusha. You can't create Kedusha on Evarim, because they won't spread to the entirety of the animal. But with regards to the Ubarim, Otan Shekidshu B'mei Iman, those that were already Kadosh B'mei Iman, Ein Memirin B'hem V'ladei Kodoshim. That's really the case of V'ladei Kodoshim. Now, as Rashi explained over here, this is not a difference between Hekdesh and Memir, but rather just a din in Tmura, even though these Ubarim are Hekdesh, because they're Vlad Hekdesh, which even Bar Poda agrees can happen. Nevertheless, you can't be Memir with them. Not a distinction between Hekdesh and Tmura, just simply a din in Tmura. Just like by Evarin, Ein Memirin Bahen, so too by Ubarin, Ein Memirin Bahen. That's the parallel between them. But it's not really, as Rashi says over here, a expression of Chomer Bekodesh Mibit Mura. But then that explanation runs us into a problem, because the Mehimanu Dola Din Tmura, only when they're in utero do they not create Tmura. Havrai Abbe. But once they're out, then the Vlad Kodesh that's already born could create Tmura. Vatnan, don't we have a Mishnah upcoming in a Vladot Osim Tmura? The Vladot can't create Tmura. And if that's the case, then how could you have a Mishnah that's Meduyak from it, that after it's born, it can't create Tmura? It's only when it's in utero, it can't create Tmura. My answer is again, Amani, Rabbi Yehudi,
the author is going to be Rabbi Yehuda, and Rabbi Yehuda in the upcoming Mishnah says you can have tmura from a vlad hekdesh that is born. Well, now if it's Rabbi Yehuda, go back to the beginning where we said, oh, you can be a magdishan aver, and that aver then would have the kedusha spread to the entire of the animal, and then you can do tmura with it. Well, mikodshei, when you're magdishan a particular aver, it doesn't mean it spreads to the entire of the animal, according to Rabbi Yehuda. Hada Rabbi Yehuda, late lay haomer raglash shel zo ola. You say the regel, the leg of this animal is an ola. He doesn't say kula ola. The entire animal does not automatically become an ola. So malay, ochamai skinan. So Rabbi Zeris is back to him. No, the case here is, but dvaro sel ta trefa. The case where that limb that he was makdish would make it into a trefa if it was removed. Meaning it's a aver shenishamatu liabo. And there even Rabbi Yehuda agrees that the knusha would be mitpashet on the whole animal if you makdish that particular type of aver. And that way you make Rabbi Yehuda the author of this entire position. Tosafot has two criticisms of this flow of the Gemara. The first of which is, Rashi added into the Girsa umemirin bahen. The way that the Gemara read before Rashi was, Achi kamar, makdishin evarin, avalo memirin, evirin bahen. And then they went on to ubarim. Rashi added in the word memirin. Tosafot speculates as to why Rashi added in memirin based on what he says is the question the Gemara is going to ask on Rabbi Yehuda later on, which is, Evarim mikadishay. He thinks that precipitated Rashi putting the Girsa in. And therefore he says, number one, the older Svarim didn't have it in it. And number two, the whole Mishnah, the topic of the Mishnah is, Homer bitchilat kedusha mi bitmura. And this is not an item that's relevant to that, and therefore it doesn't belong in the Mishnah. On the other hand, it's likely that Rashi put the Girsa of Memirin Behem in because that's what makes the statement about the Ubarim relevant afterwards. And that is because, as Rashi notes, V'ha'alav mishum chomer b'kodoshim mi'bitmura katani, the Ubarim piece is not written because of the topic of the Mishnah, mishum datano me'mirin behen, be'behema shekadsha yedei eiver. Since an animal who was nitkadesh yedei an eiver, that spreads to the entire animal, and you can do tmura, tani b'ubarim, e'mirin behem. It comes to dispel that with regards to Ubarim, that there is no such thing with regards to Ubarim. And that's why he needs the Memirin in Behen there to make it relevant as to why you're saying by Ubarim, ain't Memirin Behen. Number two, Tosafot says that both in the previous sugya and over here, the fact that the Gemara challenges the answer of Lad Kodeshim from Rabbi Yehuda's position that a single Aver cannot bake the entire animal into Hekdesh, Tosafot says that it's not a necessary question and it's not an issue at all. And the whole reason that the Gemara does this is because we're medayek from the Mishnah that Rabbi Yossi says to the Tanakama that I know that if your makdish is single aver, then it spreads to the entire animal. If your makdish is single aver, it works. So too, when you take tmura and you place it on a single aver, it should work as well. So then the Tanakama disagrees about the tmura aspect, but he agrees about the hektish aspect because of the fact that that's the way Rabbi Yossi presents his position. But in the Gemara in Chulin, as Tosafot quotes over here, Yesh Lashon Acher, Rabbi Yossi Anaf Sheikim Adar, he's speaking to himself. But Tanakama Poligale, but the Tanakama disagrees fundamentally, not just about the Tumra aspect, but also about the hektish aspect of it. Afil B'tchilat Chetesh, M'ken Iklamemer, Rabbi Yehuda, then you could make it into Rabbi Yehuda, because Rabbi Yehuda could be the Tanakama, because the Tanakama doesn't hold that Hekdesh automatically spreads from one aver to the entirety of the animal. If that's the case, then you could set up the case of the Mishnah as Vlad Kodoshim, say it's Rabbi Yehuda that after it's born it can't create Tmura, and still not have a problem because when you're Makdish an aver, it doesn't have to spread to the entirety of the animal because you'll hold like the Tanakama. That doesn't work. The Tanakama doesn't have to agree with Rabbi Yossi's statement there because Rabbi Yossi's not speaking to the Tanakama, he's speaking on his own or about his own position. Okay, we're going to stop here. 10 lines down on the top of Yud Aleph, Amud Aleph.